frequency. As we know it today, and what we're going to talk about today is that type of RFI that might be the result of amateur radio transmitters or citizens band transmitters getting into the TV, the telephone, and items at home. I think that's by far the most prevalent problems of RFI that we have today.
Okay, so when we see our TV going up and down and making all kinds of funny noises, and our telephone has some interference, those are the things we're talking about RFI.
That's right.
And what are the most common problems? TVs, radio, telephones. What do you get the most complaints about RFI interference?
Well, I think it's a toss-up between TV and telephone. Recently, since the telephone companies have been made to compete with many other companies, the quality of the telephones have really gone down because of the competition, and we're getting more and more telephone interference now, and something that 15 years ago we seldom ever heard about. And if you have a telephone that's 15 years old and working, don't let it go. That's the that's the best one that was built.
Okay.
Also, included in the TVI, the television interference, are the new VCRs. Both of those are both TV instruments, and they can be quite susceptible, too.
Okay, well, let's talk about what the West Valley Amateur Radio Club and then the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club is, how it's structured for RFI problems. What is the purpose of the RFI committee and the West Valley Amateur Radio Club?
The purpose is for the West Valley Amateur Radio Club to assist anybody living in our area who may have RFI. We will take reports from the people that live there or for the hams that are there. We also get a lot of our reports from FCC in Douglas. We have a formal written agreement with them, which is a pilot type of agreement. And
is this the first program of its type in the United States?
Yes, this is the first one, and of course we're hoping that it becomes much more prevalent across the United States because it's been so effective. But we may get a notice from FCC that John Doe is having trouble. Would you go and see what you can do for him? So we get involved in almost anything that comes in that we can really help somebody out with. This is our obligation under the law as ham radio operators, to service the public, and that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, so, all right. Now, what about does the Scottsdale Club? It's the same thing, right?
Yes. Typically, what I do is, when I receive a call from a fellow amateur, is first of all find out what kind of a setup he's got and what kind of problems that he has, and I've gone through and made suggestions on how he can take care of that problem. And that's typically before anybody else gets involved and they want to take care of it themselves. A lot of times, though, the type of calls that we get are from the FCC that have already been through that kind of a situation, and the neighbor was frustrated, or even the ham called himself, and we get a notice from the FCC to go out and see if we can help them out. So that's typically how we've handled it from our end.
How many people in the Scottsdale Club how many people are in the committee, the RFI committee?
Okay, in the Scottsdale Club, we're just a relatively young club as far as the RFI committee is concerned.
How long have you been doing it?
Just about a year.
Okay.
And then we have myself and two other gentlemen that are really active, and then one other gentleman that is helpful in on an on and off basis. So there's only four of us. However, the area that they've covered is restricted to the East Valley, and I'm having a little bit of trouble getting somebody that will do it on a regular basis in the northern part of Scottsdale. So we're looking for help there too.
So this program's also a plea to ham radio operators to help out. How many people in the West Valley Club are involved, and how long have you guys been doing it?
We've been doing it about 2 years now. We had some experience just before that, but we've really been 2 years we've been involved in it, really up to our elbows. And we had a couple of new people come in the committee lately. I think there's about 10 in it now. And these people have generously spent their time and, of course, their money for gasoline and things like that. And I think they're really doing the public a great service. Incidentally, did you ever stop to think that amateur radio is the only public service that the United States citizen gets that he never pays a cent for? I think it's worth mentioning. One thing I would like to say about our service, we don't like to get too far out of our area. We're trying to develop more of our members further away, you know, back into the eastern part here towards Central Avenue, so that we can service more area. But person calls up and wants us to come 10 or 12 or 15 miles, why, we probably would say no. But
what kind of boundary do you have? Where's a definitive? Is there such a thing as a definitive eastern boundary that you'd have?
No. I say if we can develop amateurs in the area or members of the club to become knowledgeable in what they have to do, we will take it on. But we're not going to ask the members to drive 15 or 20 miles.
Okay. So now, let's see how it works. How many calls are you getting? Like, do you get a call a week? Do you get 10 calls a week, a month?
No, recently, I think we're getting a call a month. We seem to have gotten a lot of them solved, and it's dropping off now.
Mm-hmm.
But
excellent.
Maybe they're getting a little tougher to solve, too.
Well, one a month doesn't really sound that bad. I mean, that actually sounds pretty good. What about Scottsdale?
We typically have had two or three calls a month to start out with, and then it tapered off in the summer. A lot of our calls occur when the winter visitors come down, and they're in trailer parks, which is a trouble spot for RFI. So.
What is unique about trailer parks?
Well, typically what happens is that it's difficult. You got a lot of aluminum around there.
True.
And also, a lot of hams that bring their radio down with them, and they're to set up an amateur radio station in a motorhome is difficult to get rid of all the RFI problems. Grounding is a problem because it's a motorhome, and proper antenna terminations and that kind of thing are not always done. So those kinds of problems we're dealing with. Along with the fact that the telephone terminations in a trailer park are temporary. They're not always done right. And, you know, just all those kind of problems mount up, and it's difficult to take care of them. So.
Okay. We have a trivia question we'd like to throw out at 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-5366. Who wants to ask the trivia question?
You got it over there.
No, I don't have it. I gave it to the engineer,
oh,
so she has the right answer.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. I'll ask the question.
The winner of this trivia question will win some QSL cards courtesy of Antennas West in Provo, Utah. So for some 100 QSL cards, let's ask. Okay, you're going to ask the question,
well,
Neil?
This is a good one. I wish I was on the other end of the answer. TV channel is, or close to that channel, is affected by the third harmonic of your 15-meter single sideband signal? And what we're looking for is the specific channel.
Okay, and our number is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. So don't be shy. Try to guess and come on down. if you've never been to a Wallpaper World store, now is the time to go. Make the time to see the new Bally Neat Pleat Shades, the new fall wallpaper lineup, the new sandblasted 2-inch wood blinds, and so much more. If you're thinking at all about redecorating or moving into a new home, stop in at your nearest Wallpaper World store. There really is no reason to shop anywhere else. Wallpaper World carries all the lines of wallpaper produced in the United States and all over the world, with over 1,000 wallpaper collections in each store, over 300 patterns in stock in each store. Wallpaper World manufactures their own wood shutters, custom made. They, of course, measure and install them, along with custom aluminum blinds, custom vertical blinds, and custom pleated shades. And yes, they manufacture all of them here in Phoenix. They also distribute duet shades at over 60% off the list price every day. And each Wallpaper World store has trained interior decorating consultants to assist you free of charge with your decorating selections. From fabrics to draperies to bedspreads to seat cushions to wallpaper to blinds, Wallpaper World really does have it all. I guess you can say Wallpaper World has got you covered, and for less than anybody else. Wallpaper World guarantees to beat any price on any wallpaper from any wallpaper book sold in America. That's a price guarantee that absolutely cannot be beat. So go to Wallpaper World in Mesa at Stapley and Southern, or Chandler at Dobson Elliott, or Scottsdale at 4400 North Scottsdale Road, or go in Phoenix at their store at 40th Street and Greenway, 43rd Avenue in Bell, or their factory location at 3006 West Thomas Road. Wallpaper World, where selecting decorating products is an enjoyable experience. Call 272-4788. That's 272-4788 for more information. More information. Speaking of more, we have a winner on the line, and figures that he would know that. John Moore, NJ70. You're getting a round of
that. That is some QSL cards.
Wow. What channel is the harmonics?
It's channel 3.
Well, I wonder how you knew that. You probably, first we're going to guess 5, right? No, okay. All right, well, you have won 100 QSL cards, and from Antennas West, Jim Stevens, KK7C. From Antennas West, we'll send it out, and if you want anything special on it, let me know. Otherwise, it's just going to be your call letters, and well, you're going to need to give me the address that you want on your QSL card, so let me give you back to Amy, okay, John?
Okay.
So that she knows exactly what you want on there. And again, there are 100 free QSL cards, and Antennas West is giving them away, and they have next-day QSL cards. You can actually get them in 2 days if you order them from Jim Stevens. And their number is 1-800-926-7373. Thank you very much, John, and please hold on, and Amy will take your address that you want on a QSL card.
All righty.
Thank you. Okay. So that was a pretty easy question. You guys didn't stump them too much. All right,
try harder next time.
Okay. Let's continue with some RFI problems. All right, who should contact you? Let's start out this way. Let's say a neighbor is coming over to him and saying, hey, you're bleeding over, or are you causing interference on my television or my whatever, you're coming through when I shave. And I can hear your conversations on my electric shaver. Should they then, and then the neighbor is, you know, saying, I want it taken care of, et cetera, and there's a lot of tension there. What do you suggest the ham radio operator do? What should the ham radio operator do before they even contact you?
Well, I think that he should carefully inspect his station to make sure that all his coax connectors are tight. You'd be surprised how many times we found loose connectors. He should check to be sure that they're soldered properly. And sometimes when you say soldered properly is a relative term that means one thing to one ham and one thing to another. There's a lot more to soldering connectors on and doing it properly than a lot of people think there is. You can't do this with a small iron with a small tip on. It's got to be done with a good soldering iron with a lot of copper in the tip so that you get enough heat there and you can get in and get out.
Might suggest that if you don't know how to solder or you think you might have a little problem soldering, get a hold of one of your fellow hams and have them come over and help you out.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Another thing that should be done, the amateur should make sure that he's got a proper ground on his station. Too many hams are using a water pipe with a solid piece of copper wire to it, and this just is a good DC ground, but it's not good for RF. You should have an 8-foot copper-clad steel rod with less than 10 feet of wire to it. And the wire should be some sort of a copper braid like that you would get off the sheathing of RG-8. An old piece of RG-8 could be utilized. Let me say this about grounding. The ARRL handbook has got a very good grounding system in it, and I would suggest that any ham looks there to find out what he should do. I think that he's missing the boat if he doesn't. I've got my station grounded through RG-8 sheathing from the transmitter and the tuner and the amplifier to a piece of copper pipe across the back of the desk, and then from there there's a piece of heavier sheathing that goes to the ground outside the wall. I think it's about 6 feet long. And if you get over 10 feet long, you're going to get into some harmonics of some of your higher frequencies, so keep it as short as possible.
Improper grounding is probably the main cause, would you say, of RFI problem? I mean, if it is the ham's fault, would you say that that's mostly the cause?
No, I think the improper connectors, improperly stalled, old coax that has, you know, when it gets to a certain point, it should be replaced. And some people have had coax up for 20 years, and in the heat we have here,
it melts to coax.
It just isn't 50 ohm coax anymore. A high SWR is a bad feature also. So I'm not so sure that the ground is the tops. It's one of them, but certainly not the worst offender.
Okay. Well, so now that's giving some reasons as to what is the problem. But now, okay, he checks all that, and we're still having a problem. Do you suggest that he contacts you? How should he handle it with the neighbor? What are your suggestions for neighbor ham relationships here is what I'm trying to get to.
This relationship is very important, Len, and if the ham cannot clear this up himself, he should immediately call, like Neil in Scottsdale, or in our position on the West Valley Club, it's Bill Johnson. Don't let it drag out. The longer it drags, the harder it is to solve, because there's too many irate feelings that develop between the two people. And we've had some where they were almost coming to blows before the ham ever called us. And now we're encouraging them and they're following it, too. They're doing it. They're calling us right away.
Okay, so the ham has the problem. They can't solve it with the neighbor because the neighbor, for whatever reason, doesn't really want to talk to you. And even though in most of the cases, I have to assume that the neighbor says it is your fault, it can't have anything to do with any of my equipment because mine is General Electric or Magna or whatever the company is, it's that company, and they don't produce junk, and it's your fault, and et cetera, et cetera. And now, what they call you, what do you do? What does the West Valley Amateur Radio Club say to the ham?
Well, to the ham or to the owner?
Well, to the ham first. I mean, now, are you then going to take the phone number and call the neighbor?
Yeah, if a ham calls us and he tells us what he's done and we feel sure that his station is up to snuff, and we're not sure, we'll go and look at
okay,
it
so
ourselves.
You usually make a trip to the station first.
Yes, we usually
okay.
do.
Okay.
But then I'm talking to the neighbor, and we've had them sometimes where they refuse to let us come in the house, but after we talked to them, we finally got in and got working with them, and they could see that we were interested in solving their problem. And as time went by, while we got all the animosities aside and were able to help them. But I know you mentioned these people. This one fellow had a TV set, one of the big ones. He paid something like $3,000 for it.
Oh, no problems if you paid that much, right?
Well, he did have problems with it, and the way we proved it to him, we disconnected his TV from the antenna completely and had the amateur transmit, and he still had the problem. So it had to be in the TV. Then he began to realize that he did have a problem, so we started various things, and we did cut it down a lot. We didn't get it 100%. We probably cleared it up about 90%, and we haven't heard from him since, so I assume that they're not too unhappy about it.
Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot, Neil, but let me ask you a question. If a ham in the Scottsdale area has the same problem, they call you, are you set up to do the exact same thing as George, or how are you handling
it? No, I'm not set up like that at all. And thanks, Len. typically, my approach to that is to have the ham help out as much as possible with his own neighbor. He's going to have to become a friend with his neighbor, you know, to afford any kind of help at all. And the best thing to do is to offer to help out and see if you can find out what the problem is right up front, and instead of saying, well, it's not my fault either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault, it's not your fault, doesn't fix anything. So the whole idea is to develop a relationship with your neighbor. It's probably one of the best things that you can do for yourself as an amateur is to develop good relationships with your neighbors.
But if the neighbor and the ham can't communicate because they're both, you know, red hot, the Scottsdale Club is not going to mediate, so to speak.
Well, I'm not a referee, if that's what
okay,
you mean.
Okay.
Typically, I can go out and help with the technical problem, and I can also try to be personable
right.
to the neighbor. But I'm not going to go out there and try and buffalo the neighbor.
No. We're not talking about that. We're talking
well,
about
I,
to
I,
help.
I,
as
the reason
a
I said
teacher.
That was I had a guy that really wanted me to come out and do that.
Uh-huh.
So that's not our function either.
Well, I don't think George would do that either.
Right, I don't think so either.
No.
But I think my point is that we're limited on help. I'm limited on a personal amount of time that I can spend in it. And a lot of the calls that I've got are 20, 25 miles away, and I just can't go that far. So,
okay.
and a lot of guys, our guys can't go that far either. So our best approach at that point is to have the ham help out as much as possible on his own because he's closest to the problem.
Well, I think everybody needs to understand that, again, this is all voluntary, and we need more help in these RFI clubs or groups, committees, and it is doing a very good service for the community. And so if anybody does have any time that they can spend, you're looking for help.
Right. Well, one of the reasons I got into this myself was that I've had RFI problems myself. One of the best ways to learn how to fix them is jump in.
Okay.
And help out, find out from other guys what to do, and that can be helpful as well.
See, we have an advantage here, Lynn, and a good percentage of our club are retirees,
mm-hmm.
and we do it during the day, which I can understand. A man's got a family at home with that. He just can't take
well,
it.
I'm not trying. All I'm doing is just mm-hmm. want to make
trying
to
put me on the spot.
Well, sort of, but I just want to... I just wanted to make sure how far each club was going. Or now, is there any other groups of RFI in the Valley? I mean, are there any other committees?
Not that I know of.
I believe there might be one down in Tucson.
But not in the Valley here.
Right.
There's nobody, in other words, handling Mesa or Chandler.
Well, actually, our Scottsdale Club is our only two volunteers are out in East Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some... offers for help from like Nick,
mm-hmm.
and haven't had the opportunity to use him yet in his specific area. But typically, we're talking about the middle of Scottsdale's wide open for some help. And
well, let me ask a question. If let's just say, and I'm not picking on you guys if you're listening, if the Superstition Amateur Radio Club wanted to get involved with this, how would they pursue this? Would they contact you guys or the FCC, or what should they do?
Typically, that's handled through the section manager.
So they would contact Bernie?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're looking for is one gentleman to become an assistant technical coordinator for their club and then develop a committee from that point.
Okay, well, so if Superstition's listening, that might be a good idea, not picking on you guys.
Yeah, there's another thing that we did, Len. We have a toolbox. We have two toolboxes that goes with the committee that goes out. We shift it back and forth between us. We've got well over $300 worth of filters in those toolboxes that we have bought to try under different circumstances, and if we get one that works, then we can tell the customer what he has to purchase.
Well, that's it. We're going to talk about what kind of filters there are, etc., in one moment. Remember that at the Southwest Division Convention, Jim Stevens, KK7C from Antennas West, will again put on an antenna seminar. at Tud Hill, he had to give it twice due to the tremendous response that he received. Antennas West sells all types of antennas. In fact, they manufacture an entire line of quality antennas. I want to take this time to tell you about their most famous product, the Tiger's Tail. If you're a new ham, a new no-code tech ham, or you just want to increase your receive on your scanner, the Tiger's Tail is for you. The Tiger's Tail is a range extender for handheld radios. It snaps on, lowers the radiation angle, improves both your transmit and receive, adds no bulk or height, weighing only 1/3 of an ounce, and it most definitely boosts your signal for many flex, quarter wave, or 5/8 wave antenna. I've tested it, and it improved the signal by 2 to 4 dB. If you try it, you'll see and hear the difference. With the Tiger's Tail, your antenna efficiency dramatically increases as your signal is radiated lower to the ground instead of shooting off into the clouds. So give Antennas West a call at 1-800-926-7373. That's 1-800-926-7373. Mention Ham Radio and More, and you'll receive a special price. By the way, the Tiger's Tail is less than $8 regularly. So buy one, or buy a couple. 1-800-926-7373. And I want to thank Jim Stevens from Antennas West for, again, donating some QSL cards. And again, our number is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. And I cannot believe that not one person out there is having an RFI problem, an interference problem of some sort, doesn't have a question for these guys, because, you know, I've been asked a lot of different questions in the last 2 weeks about this show, and I can't be covering every single question you guys had. Okay, let's talk about some of the problems on telephones, because that seems to be one of the major problems. You carry a filter now, you're saying, with you. What kind of filter is it? Where can someone buy it? How much is it?
Well, let me go back a little bit.
Okay.
We worked very closely with the telephone company for a year now to develop a filter that was what we thought the most effective. And it finally came up, there was a telephone filter called TII, and I haven't got the address with me in that.
Did you?
Oh, yeah? Okay,
yeah.
Well, let me, okay. Ferris, then you can give them the address. The filter sells for around $12.50. Well, at least that's what we bought them for from the company. I'm not sure what the telephone companies sell them for. I think they're a little more than that. But we handle them because when we get the person that's having interference on a telephone, they want the thing cleared up right away. And by carrying one filter, they say, well, can I buy a filter from you? Well, now we're making it possible that they can buy a filter from us for exactly the same amount of money that we spent on them. And they seem to be very effective. Sometimes you can get by with putting them on one telephone, which is a culprit that's causing problems in the rest of the house. Or sometimes you have to put them on more than one at the house. You start off by disconnecting all the telephones and plugging them in one at a time to see where the problem is. And when you find it, well, you put a filter on it. That clears it up fine. But then you continue on and make sure that the others aren't creating a problem. Some people these days have, especially since telephones have become so cheap and so easy to acquire, why they've got 5 and 6 telephones in the house. And one of these can really cause problems in all of them.
These filters cost more than than some of the telephones people buy.
I've seen some of the telephones for $9.98.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're
they make good receivers.
Yeah, well, yeah, very good receivers.
The address on that filter is TII, that's Tango India Industries. They're 1385 Akron Street in Copaig, and I'll spell that C-O-P-I-A-G-U-E, Copaig, New York. Their zip is 11726. And if you want to call them on the telephone, their telephone number is 516-789-5020. And I heard that there was supposed to be an electrical outlet here in town that handled TII. I believe there is. I believe it's Gray Bar Electric. I was over in Mesa to their store over there. They didn't know what it was all about, so it was probably just the Phoenix store. I know that they've handled TII surge suppression devices, and I'm not sure that they've been introduced to this filter yet.
And this is a simple filter, just a modular, right? It just plugs in, and the telephone plugs into that, so there's no opening. So if any individuals out there are having these problems, you might want to pick up one and just try it, right?
Yeah, you know, anybody can do it. No problem at all.
This one here is one of the better ones, and I think I got a report from the FCC not too long ago that said it had about 70 dB of attenuation, which is quite a bit. Mm-hmm. That really drops it way down. And in the instances that I've used that filter, it's made a dramatic difference from my point of view.
I've had one person who has mentioned to me recently that if a ham calls you for some help with his neighbor, and you come out and you help, and somewhere along the line, hate to say it, but a punch is thrown by the neighbor or something, they were questioning the possibility of the club being sued and being liable for helping out. George, do you have a comment on that?
I don't think that such a thing is possible. And I talked to a member of our club that's an attorney three or four years ago about liabilities, and he told me that, and I'm not sure it's still true because laws change every year, but he told me at that time that under Good Samaritan law, if you're conscientiously trying to do the job and you're not doing something on purpose, that they really can't, you're not really liable for anything. Now, if you punch somebody in the nose, why, then he'd probably have a good case with you, but I don't think the reverse is true.
Okay, we have a caller online. Let's pick this up here. Matt, N7QBS, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Thank you.
And what can we do for you?
I have a problem with RFI.
Okay.
Whenever I key up on 2 meters, my brother gets interference on his stereo. The antenna is mounted, on the roof over his room. So...
How much power...
I should do.
How much power are you running on 2 meters?
Ask him again.
How much power are you running on 2 meters?
10 watts.
You're very close to the to this stereo.
Yeah, it's the next room over.
Well, you might try putting a 003 capacitor on each speaker on each line of the speaker to ground, or you might try putting shielded speaker wire from the stereo to the speakers. Probably where it's picking it up, it's pretty hard to be certain about that, but if it's in the set, and there should be a capacitor to ground in the set too off each line wire. I don't know. It isn't always the same solution that fits in each case. You have to try each one by themselves, and you try these things chronologically. You do one thing, you try it. If it doesn't work, try something else. But sooner or later, you'll probably run into the solution as you go through these steps of trying to ground or putting in a sheathed cable for speakers is very seldom used, but it's a very effective means of keeping that out of the speaker. Go ahead.
One more thing that I have that... You mentioned that your antenna is right above his room. You might try repositioning the antenna in a different spot, and go up higher in height if you can. The higher that, in general, the higher that you can get your antenna, the more efficient that it's going to be radiating out into the atmosphere or out in the ionosphere where you want it, rather than in your home entertainment equipment.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Does that help you at all?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, Matt. Well, good luck on solving the problem.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Is that common to come in the stereo next room over in your same home?
Not on 2 meters. First one I've heard on 2 meters. Because the power is so low.
Yeah, I wonder why on 10 meters, unless like you're saying, there is no shield. Did he say he was using a handy-talkie?
Well, he said 10 watts, so it had to be...
Oh, that's right.
And it was 2 meters.
Correct.
So,
Yeah, 2 meters. Interesting. Well, there's all kinds of problems, I presume. Let me get this one more out of the way, and then we don't have... Okay, Dan Hoyas of Dan Satellite Systems wanted me to be sure to mention that this week will positively be the last week that you can get totally free installation worth up to $400 when you purchase an EchoStar satellite system from Dan Satellite Systems. This is truly a deal, and it is gone after this coming Saturday. Get a great EchoStar 410 with a 10-foot dish, 6 months of free programming, and absolute free installation this final week only, and all for only $17.99. You know, I looked in the paper today, and I was looking at the classified, and there was somebody bragging how cheap they were, and for a similar setup, they wanted $18.99. So, you know, this is really a super deal because, first of all, you're buying EchoStar, which is a top brand, if not the best, and Dan's has been in the same location since 1985. You get 100% financing if you want. You can pay less than you do now for cable. Less than cable, more channels, better picture, better sound, and it's fast. Dan can install it within 1 to 2 days. It's really enjoyable watching news and sports feeds from all over the world, live sports events, too, that are not shown on regular television. I watch my Chicago Bears today because, well, I had to admit I turned off the Cardinals. So, and I'll tell you, I'm being very serious about this. If anybody watched it, that Bear game today against the against New York Giants was one heck of a game. It was one of the most exciting games, not only because I'm a Bear fan, but it was one of the most exciting football games I've seen in a long time. So, go Bears. Anyway, go Cardinals, too. Hope they win next week. Also, with satellite TV, you have the opportunity to get pay-per-view movies. First-run movies that have just hit the video stores are available for just $2.99. You don't have to leave your house. You don't have to go out and rent them, then return them, etc. It's really the most convenient way to watch a new movie. So if you've been just sitting around thinking about someday getting a satellite system, now is the absolute best time. Call Dan Satellite Systems, 233-1515 for free installation on any EchoStar system. Dan is located at 51st Avenue in Grand and Bethany Home, where they all come together. That's 233-1515. Dan's free site survey will be given. And if you mention Ham Radio and More, you'll get free, and I mean free installation, this week only. So don't delay. 233-1515, Dan Satellite Systems. Let's take a call. We've got Terry, WA2AGO. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hi, Len. I've been having a problem over here in North Scottsdale. I just recently moved into the area from Northern California, and ever since coming over and getting the rig set up at this location, I've had a problem with a neighbor next to me, and as a matter of fact, even a couple of neighbors down from that particular neighbor. First, I had a problem with telephone interference, and I found a filter in CQ Magazine, April of 91. It's a PI filter that seemed to work pretty well for me. I don't know as if it would give the full 70 dB of attenuation you guys are talking about with a TII filter, but I've had some luck with that. Where I am now, and I've got two things that are particularly troubling to me. One of them is I'm having a big problem with CATV, cable TV. It seems like the RF is getting into the cable system only on 20 meters. 15 meters seems to be clear. And, however, 10 meters I have another problem with. The same neighbor has an alarm system installed in his premise, and apparently on 10 meters, even with 100 watts to a three-element Yagi up about 45 feet, it's lighting up the alarm panel, and it's causing panic alarms to be generated, placing phony. It's got an auto-dialer built into the alarm system, which summons the local authorities. Now, we've done some testing, and we had them disconnect the telephone line to see whether, in fact, the information was, or the RF was getting in on the phone line, and it wasn't. It looks like the RF is coming in on the sensors that are placed all over the house. Now, he's directly next door to me, and again, I'm on 28 megahertz for that particular problem. This is a two-part question, so I'm a little leery about doing anything with the alarm system, other than short of the fact that recommending that he try to wrap some torides around those particular wires coming from the sensors around the house. But the big problem I have, and I guess the question for you guys, is what kind of luck are you having with cable TV type interference, in this case, my situation is probably the majority of it is on 20 meters.
Let's see, if you bought a satellite system, you wouldn't have these problems.
Yeah, I can address the burglar alarm system. The approach that I would take with that is on each one of the sensors, I would start with a 0.01 microfarad capacitor to ground off of each side of those sensors. What you have is miles and miles of wire out throughout his house there that's not shielded. It's all antenna wire as far as that burglar alarm is concerned. So think of it from the viewpoint that you're trying to keep the RF from getting into the panel. Also, typically on those burglar alarms, they have a little plug-in transformer that plugs into the wall for a power supply. And I would try and get the RF off of the leads, the power supply leads as well, by the same manner. The more RF that you can keep out of that box, probably the better off you're going to be. Do you want to do something on the cable?
Let me comment one more item on the alarm system. If that alarm system is contained in a plastic box, you've got problems there. If it's in a metal box, don't worry about it. But if it's in a plastic box, try wrapping that box in aluminum foil just to see if that works. If it does, then you know it's coming up in the box. Other than that, well, I can't add any more. But on the cable system, we have Dimension Cable out in the Sun Cities, and they have been very, very cooperative with us. They're great guys to work with, and they call us and we call them, and it's been a real good relationship. But they are required by law to provide a cable system that is not susceptible to outside interference. So somewhere that RF is getting into that cable system. One of the problems you have with cables is that many times the people try to expand the system themselves, and they think they're putting it in correctly, but they're not. And many times they'll put in dividers. I can't tell you.
Splitters?
Pardon?
Two-way splitters?
Splitters. And they leave one of those ports open. If you leave one of the ports open, it's just like putting a blotter in there. It soaks the RF up. So if there's a splitter in anywhere that's got an open port, you can get a little cap at Radio Shack with a 50 ohms built into it, and you just screw that on and eliminate that. But basically, if you've got a problem in the cable system, call the cable company. They're obligated to cooperate with you in getting that cleaned up.
I have one more comment on that, is that a lot of troubles come in on the shield of the coax cable, and an effective way to get rid of that is to take the coax through a ballon to a 300 ohm a high pass filter and back through another ballon back to the 75 ohm system, make that the short end going to the TV set, and what that does is that forces it to be filtered out into balanced mode with that 300 ohm filter. AEA has a little kit, and it's called an HPF1 that has all three of those pieces in the kit, and that's available locally, Terry.
Okay. What about the, have you had any experience with the Radio Shack filter? They have a 75 ohm inline high pass filter. I've tried it. I don't seem to have any luck with that at all.
Okay, the reason that that's not working for you is because the RF energy is on the shield of that and not on the internal conductor. That filter is probably effective if it was coming in on the internal conductor, but it's not. So in that case, it won't work. It would probably work if it was coming on the inner conductor.
Which very seldom happens.
Right.
So by putting a transformer 75 ohms to 300 and then the high-pass filter on the line.
And then go back to 75 ohm with another transformer.
Oh, and then go back to 75 ohms again.
Yeah, typically the newer stuff is set up for 75 ohm inputs, so you may want to use that. I've used that at my home on my VCR, and it works like a champ.
Very good. Good advice. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. If all else fails, Neil, you'll be hearing from me.
Okay, Terry.
Thank you very much.
You can reach me on the packet cluster.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Chris, KF7YP, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Yes, hi, Len. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
I had a problem with RFI with my neighbor here, but it makes it a little tough here because it's more political rather than technical. Well, he does have some telephone interference. I contacted the West Valley Club, and the West Valley Club has had a great success in acting as intermediaries between hams and their neighbors in some of these disputes. But unfortunately, I'm in an area a little bit too far to the east. I'm at about 19th Avenue and Greenway, and the West Valley Club says I'm a little bit out of their service area. Unfortunately, I'm an engineer. I'm familiar with the technical aspects of solving the problem, but I'm concerned about the political aspects of the neighbor who is upset about my antennas and the aesthetics and, you know, refuses to cooperate. And I'm afraid, you know, modifying his equipment or putting filters on, if he ever has a problem, his picture tube goes out or something on his TV 3 months down the road, he's going to say, well, it's that ham next door that, you know, destroyed my television set or something. When you don't have a ham club to act as your intermediary, how do you guys suggest the best approach to your neighbor's TVI problems, getting someone in there to isolate the problem and to solve it without being liable for the problem?
What can we do for this guy at 19th Avenue in Greenway?
You know, what he's talking about, I think, Len, is a very lengthy conversation here. I'd be tickled to death to talk to him over the telephone or something and see if we couldn't get in, because we have had cases like this where the neighbor has called FCC, and we had one case drag on for 2 years that we got it ironed out. But I don't think I'd be that worried about this. There's nothing you can do on the outside of that TV that's going to cause any problems. Filters you put on or anything else. I know that he can still cause you some headaches over it, and we've had a lot of those across the United States, but there's really nothing you can do that's going to create any problems for him.
I understand that technically I can't hurt it, but in his opinion, or if something does happen to his equipment down the road, I was wondering if your club, in you know, modifying or putting filters on people's equipment, had any suggestions to prevent personal liability. Do you ever have him put it on himself, or have the phone company come out and do it, or trying to find some third party technician or something to do it rather than suggest the ham do it himself?
No, but we do have a letter. See, as I mentioned early in the program, we have a formal agreement with FCC. We have a letter which, to some extent, absolves us of any problems like that. The person signs it saying that he recognizes such a thing. And I can send you a copy of that. It might help, you know.
Okay, I would appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Now, one other quick question. I realize
that. Real quick.
Political aspect is a tough one. One of the toughest RFI problems I've seen is VCRs in playback, playing back a tape. Having RFI with RFI filters and ferrites and everything on power lines and every lead coming into it and still being unable to affect the problem. Has anybody successfully found a cure for this one?
No. The VCRs are terrible, and the only thing you can do is cooperate with them and stay off the air when they're playing back a
tape. Ooh, yeah, that doesn't sound like a good solution.
Well, the more you can work with your neighbors on that, the more operating time you're going to have when you need it.
Yeah.
So it's to your advantage to work with them if you can.
I understand.
Thank
you very much, Lionel.
Thank you, Chris. And we'll give out some phone numbers. Hopefully, maybe George will talk to you, you know, off the air or something.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Chris, thanks for calling. Okay, well, it's getting that time. Now, want to give out some numbers? How can they get in touch with you if they're in the Scottsdale area?
Okay. First of all, I'm available on the packet cluster, and there's a lot of people that are on there. From our area once in a while. They can get a hold of me on there with no problem. Also, my home phone number is 464-5403. I appreciate it if they don't call me at work, though.
Okay, well, that's a home number, right?
Right, that's my home number.
Okay, and George?
Yeah, my home number is 974-3361.
Okay, so if anybody wants to get in contact with Neil or George, please call them at those numbers. I want to thank Neil Sheldon for being my guest and George Hands. I hope we solved some of your RFI problems, probably not all of them. I want to remind everybody to listen next week as we have the Cactus Keys and find out what women are doing in ham radio. I want to thank my sponsors, Antennas West, Wallpaper World, and I guess that's it.
World of amateur radio. Your host has been Len Winkler, KB7 LPW. Ham Radio and More has been brought to you by Antennas West, Dan Satellite Systems, and Wallpaper World. Join Len Winkler next Sunday afternoon at 2 for the next transmission of Ham Radio and More here on 1510 AM KFNN.
Financial News Radio 1510 is KFNN Mesa Phoenix. Now it's time for America's Dining and Travel Guide on the Business Radio Network with gourmet world traveler and award-winning restaurateur Pierre Wolf. To participate on today's show, call 719-528-7050. Let the phone ring. We'll answer when it's your turn. Now here's your host, Pierre Wolf.
Hello, everyone, and a good Sunday to you all. And thank you for joining me. You're a great bunch out there. Every Sunday we get together. It's called Get the Wolves Get Together and join us here. It's a participation show on America's Dining and Travel Guide. I'm celebrating just about 3 years with Greg Davis, that wonderful producer who has put America's Dining and Travel Guide on the map of the United States. He keeps other people happy, including Tom Folks, who usually precedes me, and all of us here are thankful to people behind the scene, including all your engineers and our board operators across the nation who keep us alive. Thank you very much. And with that in mind today, you might not be able to guess what we're going to talk about, but if you know anything about Mexico, and if you have sort of followed the events of the last few years and its history of many years, then you know today. Is that today, the 15th? Tomorrow is the 15th. The 16th will be celebrating the occurrence of the independence of Mexico, our neighbor to the south, who in no small way has contributed to many events that are now facing us here in our United States. Many of you have tried, I believe, to ignore that there really is a country